I'd like to welcome everyone to the City Council work session for November 15th, 2022. First item is a presentation from UDOT regarding I-15. And we'll turn it over to whoever it is. Thanks.
Where would you point this if you were me?
I'll go point it in the right direction. I'm going to switch microphones. The person attending online cannot hear through this speaker.
Okay.
So let's try that and see if it helps. Can I click you now and see?
You guys are going to be so disappointed that the next slide's not necessarily worth waiting this long for. Okay, well that's okay. We're like two from being done. So one of the main things I wanted to highlight today is we are in the comment period for comments on the alternatives. It's pretty extensive when you look at it, the extent of the alternatives, just given the length of the corridor we're looking at. But it's we've tried to make it as easy as possible through our website. There is a strip map where you can go in and it's geolocated. You can put a comment in where in the corridor it applies to and let us know what you think about it. And so we really look forward to getting those comments, and I think it's a really important part of what we're trying to accomplish. Okay, so I have the older slide roll, but this one's new to me too, so surprise for all of us. This is just what should the public comment on? So focus your comments on something that we can do something about, something that you want us to know. It's good to know that you don't like something and just leave it at that. It's better to know why you don't like it and how it could be improved. What needs do you see that alternative is not providing for you or your community? And so with respect to the quality of life framework that we're trying to operate under, think about improved safety. Which alternatives address safety in areas of the ways you care about? Better connect communities. Which alternative, in your opinion, better connects the communities, or what did we miss? Which connection wasn't made that would make a lot of sense for you or your communities? And strengthen the economy. What do you think about the trade-offs between a 5+1 cross-section on I-15, which is 5 general purpose lanes and an HOV lane, as compared to the reversible lane that they're proposing on I-15, which is 2 hot lanes in the middle, and it reverses direction in the morning and the afternoon? So there's always trade-offs for something like that. The reversible lane works pretty well. It has a bigger footprint. The 5+1 is a little bit smaller and still gets us close to a travel time that we have today in 2050. And improved mobility for all users, we're again focused on trying to improve those connections to transit, those connections within the community to give people mode choice, the ability to get out and walk or bike to their destinations. So again, public comment period, it runs through December 16th. Our website is a very convenient way to do that. You can also email or call the project team on the slide coming up. I'll share that with you. Tonight we have a public open house, as I said, at Rose Park Elementary, and tomorrow we will be in South Davis at the Recreation Center, have the same information on boards that you can find online, and also workstations at those meetings to where you can sit down with the design engineer or somebody from environmental and talk about your specific area and give input that way. And this is our project's contact information. And with that, I will leave that up for a minute and we can talk about any questions that you might have.
I think the only question I had was on that very first map. It kind of showed something that we've been pushing for some time. Over here it says Center Street, but then as I look at the little drawing here, it looks like it includes the connection that, again, we've talked about, where you can have an on-ramp to I-215, an off-ramp from I-15, and it connects to Highway 89. Is that what I'm kind of seeing there?
It's pretty tiny. At a very high level, that's what you're seeing. Okay. Yeah. And there's a couple options I think there's 2 to 3 options for the 1100 North area.
Okay, well, this isn't 1100 North. This is where I-215's, takes a turn to I-15. So this is south of Center Street. This is at the very end of our city. One time I saw a drawing that showed, it looked like it was a complete design drawing. This is just before Legacy was built, but it was looking like that was the connection, so that if I-15 had a blockage, they could direct all traffic to Legacy and then vice versa.
Okay, so you're talking about the northbound leg that would take you over and get you onto Legacy around the 215.
Get you on Legacy, but the same token, it gave us an on-ramp there and an off-ramp so that you could get on either I-215 or I-15 as a total interchange. And, of course, right now we have a major problem with Center Street where that the trains back us up.
Yeah.
When heavy time, and we worked on the 1100 overpass, but that looks like that's coming apart because of the railroad. We're not totally giving up on it yet, but this interchange here, I think, would solve a lot of our Center Street problems, and I'm hoping that we can push that through. And I guess if we make comments to that on this site, will that help?
It certainly will help. It'll help us understand what the city is trying to get out of that, and will help us communicate to you how that could work. I think if you get in there and look at that interchange, there's a couple of options, if I'm thinking of the right one now.
Okay.
Where there's the local interchange and above top, or the system-to-system interchanges, so it takes care of all movements.
All movements, okay.
Yeah.
Everybody hear that? You need to get on there and make sure you push for that.
So, do you have time to look at those maps for a minute, or is that not part of what we're doing?
Do we have them?
Oh,
sorry, I stopped pushing buttons.
It's okay. Right. I mean, we can get on the website.
Yeah, if you want to throw it up there
and find it. If
full disclosure, I'm not a traffic engineer.
But that's okay. No, I don't mean to spring it on you. If you
want, no, you're fine. That's what we're here to do.
It might be helpful though for Councilmember Porter's question, because there is a detail of the interchange that you're talking about. Might answer your question.
Like one time I saw the details. This was
yeah,
years
well,
ago.
You'll see it again.
And it just kind of disappeared all of a sudden. It was on the finance thing, the whole thing, and then all of a sudden just disappeared.
Just a comment from 30,000 feet flying over. North Salt Lake got shortchanged on Legacy. And I've actually heard UDOT admit that. And so we're looking at this like, here's a chance to make it up. Treat us right, do a good job. Okay. Without getting specific, just do a good job.
Thank you. We'll do our best.
We're looking for it. Won't take very long.
There's probably a lot of people on that website today.
Time slows down a lot when we're not
doing that. So you can see the cross-section of 2600 South, but I'm not sure that this one's getting to exactly the question that the council member had.
It'd be the very bottom one that you're looking at there, and I'm not sure it is either.
Yeah.
I can kind of see a little road going from the Highway 89 over.
Yep.
But I'm not sure that gets you on I-15 going northbound.
It does.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it, but
you're talking about.
Go from 215 right to Center Street?
No. No, but you'd get to the highway.
Oh, so there.
Right.
So the way that you would go northbound is to go south on Highway 89 to this new interchange, make a right turn and a quick right turn to northbound I-15.
Well, that's 215.
No, that's it's I-15 or 215.
Okay, I just don't see the I-15 portion.
Yeah, it's hard to see, but
because
at least...
Because 215, you can see, has that little loop off to the right.
Yeah.
And that would be going north on I-15.
Yeah, there's a little access lane that gets
you on
I-15.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's obviously, I mean, that's all I just want to make sure that's all connections.
We'll share the... there's also a website where you can go to an interactive map.
Okay.
And we'll send the link to you folks, and you can really zoom in on that intersection, on that proposed interchange, and see all the different movements and how they would work.
Yeah, I really think if they had that, then that would solve a lot of our Center Street problems, because people wanting to go to the west side of town, they would simply get on there, take I-215, and then take the Redwood Road off-ramp. They'd be on the other side of town. They wouldn't have to worry about the train.
So I think it's option B, this one we were talking about.
Yeah.
And that does provide full access to 215, I-15, and US 89.
Okay.
And also, while we're talking about it, it's the shared use path connection between North Salt Lake and South Salt Lake along US 89 is a fun mentionable right here.
Okay.
It's a beauty to behold.
I mean, we have a trail there now, but we're having issues with it because it's hard to maintain. It wasn't built to the right height and some other things, so the gravel trucks just keep it pretty messy, and people don't like riding bikes on gravelly paved roads.
Makes sense.
Which is understandable. So then they just take the freeway anyway.
So some of that trail will be rebuilt in this section.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be great.
So that would
I think we talked about it. Mm-hmm. If we get it raised up a little bit and get some barriers there and stuff, then
right. It
would be something that would be a lot more user-friendly. And
the other thing that interchange does is it provides relief to our local gravel pits who have very restricted movements in and out, and this would resolve those access problems without harming our local roads.
Yeah, great.
That's what we think so far.
Yeah.
Well, with respect to public comment, Mayor, if you don't mind, can I continue? So my suggestion is that the city put together its position and similar to the way we did in the last public comment period, and that the city council review that and make sure it says what you want it to say. And I would just report to the council that the five city managers and a proposal was made to informally to the mayor last night at a transportation Wasatch Front transportation meeting, that the five cities get together and see if there's common ground for mutually supporting some comments during this period, which I think would be a great idea. Other cities have expressed some support for some of our ideas, and I'm sure we can do the same. So we'll work on those as well.
Okay. Oh.
Oh, there we go.
That's much better.
Yeah, this is the interactive map that I was talking about. So
thank you.
So the idea would be is that from Highway 89, you can get going on the freeway north, you can get it going on the freeway south, you can get on I-215 going west, you can get off of I-215 and go to the highway. So if you wanted to go to the west side of town, rather than take Center Street, which is clogged with a train at the time, you simply come down here. And of course, I think people would naturally just start taking this route because they wouldn't have to worry about the train. So you'd simply get on this here, and you'd get on I-215 going west, and you'd just get off at the next exit, which would be Redwood Road exit. And you wouldn't have to worry about the train because you're going over the top of the trains. And that would solve that east-west problem we have, at least on the southern part of our town, you know. And I know that, that would just make life a lot better. Now, so if you're coming south on I-15, it looks like they've also got an off-ramp there, so you'd end up on the highway. Therefore, you know, they've been asking to close Center Street off-ramp for a long time, and this would probably provide a way that they could do that, and it wouldn't make me too upset, you know, because again, you could get off, get on the highway, or if you go take 215, if it were, you're a big truck, you want to get to the refinery, you just take 215 going west.
Brandon, can you comment? Are there any changes to the existing baby interchange at Center Street in any of these alternatives? And you may not know offhand.
I don't know offhand.
Okay.
I've seen it where they've been asking for years to get rid of the Center Street off ramp.
So my understanding is that in the set of alternatives, and I don't know if we can go north to Center Street, the Center Street off ramp is proposed for removal in this project so far.
Yeah, and it wouldn't bother me if this is put in place. Now, if they take
it's a good trade.
If they take it out and not put that in place, then I'd be pretty upset because then we have no way of getting people down right here. So,
can you zoom out a little bit? So, I guess my question is, if I'm coming up I-15 northbound, can I get to Legacy northbound?
You have to take 215. But you can west.
There's no northbound on-ramp to Legacy from 215.
Is there a northbound? Oh, there's not.
No.
So they talked about having the flyover ramp for years. I guess that's not in the cards here.
Well, and part of that was, when they talked about it before, it was, and this was early on, but, you know, if I-15 is blocked, big accident, and you want to get traffic to Legacy so you can use that as the alternate route, wouldn't that make sense to put that alternative here so that you could get northbound on Legacy from I-215 westbound?
It's outside of the scope of the project.
Yeah, so with this one, right now, as you're seeing it, it's a system to system. You have to get off to get back on to 215. But there, you'll see in the document that we released that's on the website for the alternative space, there is a flyover ramp from northbound I-15 to 215 that it will make it into the document, but it's just not feasible at this time. But it's still kind of in that trajectory for moving forward, you know, in the future. So that's included. We just haven't shown it here because if we move forward with this, it won't, and it proceeds to construction, it wouldn't be built as part of this. But it is in the document.
So in the 2050 plan, we won't need a flyover ramp because we'll have flying cars that'll just go over. So
here.
I've seen traffic studies on I-15 corridor that we could about triple the number of cars if they were autonomous drivers.
I wouldn't even time? Venture a guess. I've heard numbers like that thrown out, but certainly until it's here, I wouldn't even guess.
Ted would probably have a better response for that than we do.
Not to call Ted out. Well,
we've looked at it, and it is crystal ball work, but I think it's part of the rationale of the separated lanes, the HOV lanes, is they can be places where you can accommodate technological shifts, right? And so you've got the 5 plus 1, or you've got the reversibles in the middle. And high level comment, instead of 5 plus 1, if you had 4 plus 2, then you have a lot more flexibility with those lanes. And you may have been exploring that.
That's a great comment.
You know, I went to a place, I went to Weber State a couple of years ago that UDOT put on a presentation with drones, passenger drones, and the airports and all the things that were involved, and looked like they'd done a lot of work already, and they said they thought they'd have it up and running by 2025, which really surprised me. Is there anything in this study that deals with drones, passenger drones?
No.
Okay.
I would just assume they would use the I-15 corridor and at 100 feet off the...
Well, it's really interesting because what they showed, and they had this, they have all the stuff pretty, a lot in place. Obviously 2025 is not that far away, but the drones do not fly like an airplane where you'd go point A to point B as the crow flies, I guess. But they actually go to intersections and then shift elevation. So they go, if you were coming from the airport and saying going downtown Salt Lake, they'd fly at one elevation directly east, and then they'd hit this intersection, and then they'd change elevation, then fly directly south. So, but they would, a lot of it was over the freeway, existing freeway systems where they put those intersections. But it was pretty interesting that they, you know, the way they had it. And it seemed really futuristic to me, but they said, oh, no, it's And I got on the web, and there's a lot of them out there now. There's actually some countries that are really moving forward with that kind of technology.
So one more comment about northbound Legacy. So if I'm coming up I-15, I can get off on this new exchange, head on 215, and then my option would be to go back to 2200 north and flip a UE, basically, or get off on Redwood, and then I'd have to go all the way to 5th South because you didn't put an exit on 1100 north like you should have. Anyway, that's something to consider down the road is, you know, maybe 1100 North needs an exit off of Legacy, too.
I have a comment about the Highway 89 corridor. This, I think, if I'm understanding the proposal, there will be three traffic lights within about a half mile of each other that could be problematic for traffic. If there's another way, like a bridge or other routes to prevent that, I think that can help with flow of traffic, especially during busy times. That doesn't seem like ideal practice. I'm not an expert either.
Thank you.
General comment. So I participated with a lot of people as well, of course, in the, I can't remember what you called it, but the early rounds where walking the interchanges, and I just want to do a general note that I think that it really does appear like you and your team listened carefully to what you heard. I think that these are, there's a lot of creative ideas in these. It's very clear that you took the idea of taking safety seriously for a variety of modes, and I just want to say thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. And those were our smart growth workshops up and down the corridor, and appreciate your participation because they did influence the outcome.
Any other questions, comments? Well, thank you so much for coming in. And
thanks for having me.
And feel free to put this out to bid a lot faster than 2026 if you want.
Well, you don't want to wait for the flying cars?
No. The cost will double by 2026. We should get going on it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Next item is approval of the City Council minutes of November 1st. Lisa submitted some changes. Is there any other?
I didn't have a chance to look at them. I probably should have.
I reviewed Lisa's changes and thought they were good, accurate, and brought clarity to it all.
Are you going to read those or just?
Just trust me, Stan.
I will. Okay.
Lisa, do you want to read them? I could pull up the email.
Why don't you do that, Mayor? I sent them to Wendy and to Ken and the mayor. And Wendy, you may have the ones that I redlined. Is there a way that we can share those?
Have your changes already been incorporated in what we have? Okay.
I may be able to also forward them to you.
She's got them pulled up.
Okay.
Maybe
Can I just ask a question really quick about line 103? When Commissioner Elliott said the per the law, it would be up to the residents to petition to join the city if the annexation did not occur at this time. Didn't we find out that wasn't true?
And later in the minutes, we clarified.
Perfect. Thank you.
There's some, sorry, go right there, 202.
I had one change, but I'm having trouble finding it. And it's when I was talking about when they went to the Supreme, and here it says Supreme Court, and I think it needs to say State Supreme Court. So maybe you can, I don't know, I can't find it. I read it earlier and I thought, yeah, we probably have put State Supreme Court. We don't want to think somebody went to the
Wendy, you're almost through scrolling. Do you want to finish the scroll?
One question I have on line 399 is, it said Councilmember Baskin made a substitute motion. It was, in effect, a substitute motion. I made it as a motion, but really it was a substitute. Now, if that's not completely accurate, you can take out the word substitute.
I think it's accurate.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that.
No, there's some.
And I think, Stan, your comment is on line 118.
Okay.
Where we can add State Supreme Court.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Took me. I was trying to find it. Good.
So, I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes of November 1, 2022, as amended.
I'll second the motion.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? That passes.
I'm abstaining. I wasn't present.
Okay. Next item is the action items. Do we have any updates there? Do we have Do we have an update on the golf course?
Yes. We spoke this morning about scheduling the open houses. It looks like January and April are the two dates that we're thinking of doing open houses and tours. So we can tour the facility anytime if you'd like. It's going a lot slower than it's supposed to, but we're almost done.
Okay.
The golf committee is going to be meeting tomorrow night, and then I can report back to you even by an email if you'd like.
Okay. I just had the one question on number 16. It says staff feels the best solution is to require Lakeview Rock products to meet all SWPP regulations. Are we moving forward on that? I mean, that sounds like a great idea to me, but.
We do. We have regular inspections and regular contact with our employee who's over over this area. And so we're trying to do that and make sure that they continue to water the road and keep the dust down. It's a little bit better now that the weather's not quite so dry.
Okay, so there are you going to make sure, I don't know, I know what the regulations are to some degree on that. Are we going to be able to enforce that in such a way that they have to?
We're trying to enforce that on a regular basis with Lakeview.
Okay.
I think fundamentally the problem is even with excellent enforcement, which I'm hoping that we have, I think there is a design problem, as you mentioned earlier, with the trail. And it just over time accumulates debris and really needs a physical fix. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Can you tell me where we are on number 11 with the dog park?
The dog park, in all likelihood, will require a council work meeting because we have a few options open to us that I think the staff would like to review with the council.
Great. Can we schedule that?
Yes. We will get that on your schedule.
Thank you.
Do we need to have Woods Cross involved in that?
Woods Cross has declined to continue with us.
Oh. On
what?
That's really the problem. So we've been meeting as a staff, and we have some ideas. And so we'll get it on the schedule.
Okay.
Are we going to have to change locations?
That's an option, and we have a couple of options for the council to consider. That is a good location. It's a location that has a contract in place with UDOT, so it's still available. So, but we should talk about alternatives.
I wouldn't change just to be punitive about it.
No, but I just mean it's in their city. If they're not helping, maybe they don't want it.
No, they want it. They just want us to pay for it.
I don't know if this should be part of the report, but since we're talking about tasks and whatnot, action items. The senior lunch bunch explained that Hatch Park is having some issues with repairs and weeds and things that are on the walking path that need to be cleaned up, as well as along Lacey Way. There's some big weeds. And I just wanted to share that before I forgot.
You know, I noticed that on our Halloween event that but we're tearing up the park, so I don't know if it makes any sense to try to do anything.
Well, it does because there are places where there's gravel, which is a slipping hazard.
Well, there's trip hazards.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. And
we'll take a look at it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else on action items? Next item is council reports. Let's start with Ted.
Well, I almost was able to get to it, but I did want to note just that we had the South Davis workshop as part of the regional transportation plan, and the questions that were explored here tonight with Bren and Weston about connections to legacy, that's a great place to explore that is actually within the WFRC Regional Transportation Plan. I was going to pull it up so that I had it in my head in advance of my report, but anyway, I will follow up with the details of what is in or not in the plan in terms of that. And Ken or Sherry or Karen may know right offhand, but I will say that I don't think that Bren Weston highlighted it a lot, but the bicycle connection within the alternatives between our city and Salt Lake City, it's a substantial improvement. It's a double two-directional separated bike path, and it would basically create an ample and very safe connection between the two counties. And I think it could have a dramatic impact on, you know, the viability of bicycling in our city as well. So Overall, I think that there's a ton for us to chew on in the alternatives that we just scratched the surface on tonight, and I look forward to talking through them as a city and, as Ken had mentioned, combining our comments with our neighboring communities to be really impactful. But I think that we're starting from a pretty good spot with UDOT. It's a really thoughtful set of improvements. That's all for tonight.
Lisa?
I'll make it quick. With the senior lunch bunch, we met, and at that meeting, we had a nice meal that is provided by the city. About 40 people came. But we also had a brainstorming session and asked our residents about the needs that they had from their perspective as senior citizens, and came up with a list, quite a big list, and have forwarded that to the Health and Wellness Committee for their evaluation with regard to priorities and things that might be feasible. The other thing is that the golf committee will be meeting tomorrow, and things are moving forward. I haven't played golf with the simulator. Has anybody done that here? I'm eager to do that, but I haven't done it yet. Anyway, that's all.
I understand it's a little bit accurate, and I was hoping it would, like, fix my slice and things like that, but it doesn't. Stan?
Yeah, I just wanted to report that the Jordan River Commission, along with Zions Bank, and had an event here this last week out to the Zion Technology Center. I don't know if any of you have been there before, but it was amazing. And it's been there for a couple of years, and I didn't even realize it. But it's along the Jordan River, and they've made a really nice interface to the river and made it really walkable, and people can bike to work. And it's got solar panels on all their roofs and all the parking area. They generate a lot of electricity for the building. It's a big building. I mean, it's a big campus, I should say. It's really more than one building, but we had an event and where they had a dinner. I think it was a fundraising dinner for the most part. A lot of people there. A lot of people supporting the Jordan River and the improvements being made there, and they highlighted all that in videos and different presentations. So I thought it was great, but I think that's all I have to report, Mayor.
Thank you. Natalie?
I ran into a colleague today that works with Safe Harbor up in Layton, and they're doing an expansion. So, to their current space. And I know that we have already donated to them this year, but can we maybe have someone come in and talk about their expansion and see if there are any additional needs we could help them meet? That's my question, which, you know. And then the second thing is, there is a new service available in the city. Right now, recycling is optional, and they take paper and plastic and aluminum and steel. But there's a new service that I just signed up for that will take batteries and light bulbs and styrofoam and plastic film. And if you don't have the glass recycling for Momentum, they'll take glass too. And I can't tell you how much it costs, because it costs based on what you add onto your package. But they're called Recyclops, and they are active currently in South Davis County. They haven't done a pickup for me yet, but I do have a bag full of those grocery sacks waiting for them. So, and the plastic film was my favorite part, because we always throw away the dry cleaning bags because they're not recyclable. What they do with the plastic film is they take it and they send it to Trex and use it to make Trex deck pieces. So it's really being recycled into something else.
Alisa.
Some of the things I've worked on since our last meeting, I coordinated with the Youth City Council. The Youth City Council serves at the mobile food pantry, and connected the student council from Foxborough Elementary to go help with them. And that was a really positive event. The students, the younger students, the sixth graders really enjoyed it, and the older students were really involved and inspiring. It was a great collaboration. I'm grateful for that. And then I was just able to meet with the Youth City Council in the hour before this for their meeting, and really enjoyed that. We have a fantastic Youth City Council, and they are being mentored well, and they're already fantastic students. I'm really proud of them. The Health and Wellness Committee met, and we have done some really extensive brainstorming about our priorities and our goals really coming into next year. Part of that included the brainstorming session with the senior lunch brunch and collaborating with that. We got some good ideas there. And I've been really grateful to be able to collaborate there. In the past, some of my work with the city, I felt kind of siloed in my task, and I don't want to duplicate work, but to be able to kind of collaborate in a larger way and then divide up where things go, I've really enjoyed that. So we've set some really good and measurable goals for next year, one of which I want to make the council aware of is a well-being survey that is run by Utah State University, and it's been offered already throughout the state, and several, it's a collaboration. They're a land-grant university, so they provide this service without cost to the city, and then they use some of the data that they collect for their own research. But it asks residents to report on 9 different domains of well-being, things like living standards, physical health, safety in the city, mental health, local environment quality, and cultural opportunities. They're the same standard domains that are being asked in other communities, and then we can create a quantifiable measure of well-being, like what areas are we really doing well in the city and what areas are there potential, is there potential room for programs to support that, which will really inform the Health and Wellness Committee as well, but gives us a center point of here's where our city is really strong and here's some other areas. So I'm excited about that, and that should be rolling out at the start of next year. And then last piece is I'm often looking for opportunities to bring citizens into council meeting, and so get your eyes and ears ready. Both Foxborough and Orchard Elementary had Martin Luther King speech contests in October, and the winners of those contests are going to come and do their speeches here in council meeting moving forward. That's it.
Thank you.
Oh, actually, one more piece. One thing that came out in our goals discussion at the Health and Wellness Committee is that we were brainstorming wide and lofty goals, and often there was a response to some of those goals. The city already does this. This is already on the website. Here are some resources. And one of the comments that was made was, the more I work with the city, the more I realize how fantastic they are and how much work is being done that I didn't know about. I wish everybody could have these closer, intimate views to how the city works and what they're doing. And I have found that exclusively across everybody that I engage with. The more they know about the city, the more they like the city. And I felt that way in my own engagement, and I'm really grateful, proud to be a part of it.
Thank you. You know, at the league convention, we have that little segment where the kids from elementary school, why I love my community. And I thought we really should have some outreach to Orchard and Foxborough Elementary and even Adelaide, and just because it's like they don't give like $1,000 to the student and another $1,000 to the school when they're selected, and I think we need to take advantage of that. So, Elisa, I think you're the person to do that.
Yeah, I will do that. I actually did that last year before getting assigned.
Yeah. Okay. Next item is city report. Do you have anything?
I don't have anything tonight, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Let me give a quick, I don't have a lot. I'll just do a quick report. Sad to report, John Davies from the sewer board passed away suddenly. He was a great asset to the board. He had retired from the sewer district and just seemed healthy, and then all of a sudden he was gone. I got a call from a citizen after a wind event about our recycled garbage cans. They're light. They have a narrow base. They blow over. And he wanted me to do something about the wind. No, he was talking about we need to have ballast or something in the bottom of these. And I said, well, we've purchased all these cans, but maybe as we replace them going forward, we might have some kind of a better option. He said that Ace was also frustrated with them. I don't know if there's a simple fix to add ballast to a garbage can.
There's a simple fix is what we do on a windy night is we put bricks on top of the lid that weigh enough that it doesn't tip over. And in the morning, then when I hear the truck coming, I'll go take the bricks off.
Okay. Anyway, something to think about as we go into replacements on those cans.
We'll continue to talk to Ace. Yeah. We're always talking to them about operational issues.
No, I just want to tell you about a quick meeting I had and learn things. First of all, there's a fund for startup companies called Davis Funds. I wasn't even aware of that. I got invited out to our industrial park, and I am racking my brain trying to remember the name of the company. It was like X Energy or something like that, On X Energy or something. But extremely impressive operation. They have contracts with NASA to create rocket fuel on Mars and on the moon. And I don't even pretend I understand the process, but they take elements and change them into other elements. And anyway, it's happening right here in our city. And I made a couple of references to Matt Damon, you know, in The Martian. And they said, well, yeah, that's what we're doing, basically. But I think they'll be successful in getting some kind of funding to help. They do have contracts in place. The problem is that the lag time. They have to develop things before they deliver them, and creates a bit of a cash flow. But kind of an exciting project if you're ever out there. I bet they'd love to give you a tour. That's all I have. Ken, can I put you off until the end of our meeting?
Sure, thanks.
And let's take a quick break and reconvene for City Council. Thank you. Just a housekeeping item. If you haven't signed in, please sign in so that we have that on the public record.